From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our connections with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Last week, Park City and Summit County had a joint council meeting which focused on environmental issues, including renewable energy, solid waste management, and proposed ordinances with respect to plastic bags and idling, the automobile kind. Joining us in the first half of the show to discuss these issues will be Inza Riepen, Executive Director of Recycle Utah.
Then in the second half of the show today, we'll be speaking with Ryan Cray and Kate Boyd from the Park City Sunday Market, and we'll be talking to them all about their zero waste efforts and their environmental sustainability goals for this year.
Great. It's all of that. And we got another Wild About Utah segment, of course.
As always.
Some news about Illinois' ban on microbeads, a new roof coating that removes nitrogen oxide right from the air.
Imagine I don't know that. If I believe that one.
Okay, we'll talk about that. And just how many guys does it take to lay an oil pipeline?
A knock-knock joke?
No. Well, it could be if... If you may not like the answer to it, you won't believe how few guys it takes to actually lay a pipe. Something less than the 10,000 that conservatives and Republicans are saying that'll employ that the Keystone XL pipeline won't play. We'll get to those details later in the show.
Our connections with and impacts upon the environment. That's what This Green Earth is all about. And it all gets started right after a few words from our underwriters. Stay tuned.
The ABC4 Weather Report comes to you live Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. after the NPR News. Brought to you by Albion Financial Group.
Your daughter takes a fall on her bike and you're not sure what's really going on with her aches and pains. I'm Dr. Lisa Saturnino at Intermountain Instacare. We gladly accept walk-in patients. No appointment needed. Our Instacare in Park City is located at 1665 Bonanza Drive. We have a new call-ahead number to reserve an arrival time. Call 435-649-7705. Intermountain Healthcare is a nonprofit organization.
This is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local recycling and garbage service provider and a proud sponsor of KPCW. Summit County residents are recycling more and more each year in their residential curbside recycling bin. Please help by putting acceptable recyclables in and keeping glass out. Thank you, Summit County. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Welcome to This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. She's Nell Larson across the board.
Don't sound too excited over there, Chris. Here we are in the studio with
DJ
our first
Elliott,
news item.
Our intern joins us for some news items, and we're going to have Inza Riepen on. She's the executive director, and here she is right on cue.
It's called just in time.
The just-in-time interviewing process. World of live radio. Pull up a mic there, Inza, and thank you for joining us. Taking the time out of your busy day to join Nell and myself on the show to talk about, last week both you and I had a chance to sit in on the joint council meetings of Park City and Summit County.
It was a good one.
And it was a good one because, we liked it because they discussed a lot of environmental issues, and they included everything from what's going on with respect with renewable energy in the area, the regional waste plan, and Summit County's landfill, some of the issues there with Summit County's landfill, recycling issues, right? Some chat about the plastic bag ban or the possibility of a ban on plastic bags and even the no idling and all that.
And dogs. Don't forget the dogs.
And of course, dogs, they saved the best one for last.
Indeed.
Which actually we're probably not going to cover.
That's very smart.
That's very smart.
I wouldn't go there.
There is no good answers.
No.
It comes to dogs in this town.
But it was interesting. The topics really circled around the three most important things that environmental concerns should be about, and that is our right for healthy air to breathe. Mm-hmm. And I like the word healthy rather than clean. The healthy and clean water to drink.
Right.
We didn't talk about good, colorful food, but that should, we should throw that in, too.
Let's never leave that out.
No. So the clean air was probably the first, because it does have to do with the way in which we gather our energy.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting, as you all know, our energy from burning coal. That does affect our lungs,
right.
Certainly our children's lungs. So the discussion around where do we get our energy from,
mm-hmm.
because we all have these gizmos these days that need to be plugged in every night. How can you be without your cell phone these days?
Sure. There's always an ongoing demand for electricity. And in this state, we're still roughly 80% of our electricity is from coal-fired power plants. And,
right.
And the remaining another 10% from natural gas-fired power plants.
Mm-hmm.
And then a small percentage from renewables.
Yes, so the discussion was wind turbines in Sammamish County. And years ago, when the idea of wind turbines came up and we finally had some being constructed and put online in Wyoming, we found that there are very few spaces, actually, in Utah where it is feasible to erect wind turbines. So why can we just check that off and say, let's move on to the thing that does make sense? And that would be solar power.
Right.
And we've had some years ago, we did lots of education from Recycle Utah to talk to folks about put some PV panels on your roof. Since then, we have actually achieved that.
Yeah.
But we have, if you look around here, just looking at the studio, there is lots of roof space that does not have solar panels, and they could. So I was very excited to hear about the bulk buying proposal that came up. So those folks that are in charge, please make that happen, because the more we do of that, the better. Solar makes sense in Utah. We have more sun than anybody else.
Now, and this proposal would be a continuation or reincarnation of the bulk solar program that's already been wrapped up. Is that right?
No, I think this is larger. This is bigger. This is better. The way I understand it, the previous one was focused on residential. I thought that I heard that this was larger than that.
Could include commercial.
Right.
Yeah, so
there was
the next phase.
Right. There was also some discussion, do we have space in Summit County to possibly put a large-scale solar installation? And, I can come up with a lot of space right now. How about all those spaces that we put contaminated soil on,
mm-hmm.
just cap it and make it a, in Europe, there's this, this thing called Stromacker. And I'm saying, what in the world is that? Who
you're
came up
German
with that name?
Yeah, and you don't even know what that means.
But it's phenomenal, because I actually drove by it, of course, very fast, but nevertheless, I drove by it. And what it is that the farmers and ranchers are having, especially the older generation, are having a hard time retaining young farmers and ranchers in the European countries. So what they do is, in the north, in Holland and in the north of Germany and Denmark, they rent their land, which they own, it makes sense, to erect windmills.
Windmills, okay.
All over the place. So there is a constant flow of income. The people can keep their land. How wonderful would that be if we just turn that around, erect solar panels, and our farmers and ranchers can keep their property? This is totally feasible. And, of course, the large-scale one is cover up all that nasty soil.
Right.
And
right.
It's not that ugly. And if you think it's ugly, then stop using or plugging in your computer.
If you think it's ugly, coal-fired power plants
consider
are pretty
the alternative.
Ugly too.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be ugly, but we don't see those.
Right.
Right.
They're tucked away in canyons.
Yeah.
But I think you came with great line.
Tucked away in scenic canyons.
Scenic canyons. Solar makes sense.
Totally.
For
That's
you.
Our new slogan.
That's our slogan.
Solar makes sense. We just came up with that.
All right.
This
good
is
job.
Marketing 101.
All
We're
right,
done with
so,
that.
So, well, I want to hear, I want to talk about the plastic bag
yes.
ban. I know that Recycle Utah has had a survey out there for some time looking for community input. What kinds of results did you get from that?
It was very interesting. People mostly say, again, yeah, I'm with it. Makes sense. You know, it's not that difficult. I just keep forgetting my bags. You know, I have them. They're in the car. It's okay. I got mm-hmm. them. I'm good. But then I forget.
Right.
Sure. So we could help you along. And that's where the word comes in that we only spell. We don't say it. It's sort of, if you have kids, you know how to spell candy, but you don't say the word.
Right.
So the B-A-N word, we really don't say. We just sort of spell it because we can't ban. The reason why we can't ban is that the plastic bag industry, which is very large, oil industry, by the way, substituted. Yeah. It's just, again, it all makes sense.
Right.
How can we help it along? We can help it along by saying there is either a fee or a tax. However, in the state of Utah, we can't do that.
Can't do it. Right.
We cannot levy a tax. We cannot come up with a fee. Unless, of course, again, we do something that works in most environmental matters, and that is we combine like-minded people mm-hmm. and say, we can do this. The time has come. So Andy had the wonderful idea of saying, let's find some other municipalities that think the way we do. So I have personally approached people in Logan, Salt Lake, and Moab. Mm. And Salt Lake is very, very proud of their C&D waste restrictions at the moment, and they think that that is good enough. Logan says, well, we have bags. You know, we encourage stores to have other bags.
Right.
And Moab says, we're so with you. Springville has, we're so with you. If you could just give me an ordinance, give me a ban, give me something so I can make our people follow through. And that's what our discussion is about. Let's ask people, can you do this? And they're all saying, yep, I can. Now, if I had to pay for a bag, for a plastic bag or a paper bag,
right.
you bet I would remember my bag in the car and not leave it there.
Right. Make a negative incentive like that. Charge me for a plastic. If I want, I can have it. Because
you can have anything. We are not restricting
right.
paper versus plastic. That's not the topic here. It's not what has the most environmental impact. That's not the topic at all.
What is the environmental impact of plastic bags, though?
You know, people say that it is more environmentally sensitive to produce a paper bag. What I know is that people know how to recycle paper, period, paragraph. We recycle paper. That has been drilled into our minds.
Yeah.
Good for us. Do we know that we need to recycle plastic more, even more than paper? No, we don't know that. It's also very difficult, and this gets into the next point of our discussion probably, the waste management plan. It's very difficult to get plastic bags recycled. And
yeah.
let's put out there the information that the haulers and the recyclers, meaning those people that actually sort your curbside recycling, they're having a hard time with plastic bags. It gums up the system.
Exactly.
And that we need to just put out there. So let's be honest about it. A curbside recycling bin is not another garbage can. It's not. You have to know what to put in it.
Yeah.
And you have to do it right.
And so those plastic bags, actually, I've been visited those municipal recycling facilities, mm-hmm. those mass recycling facilities, and they don't like plastic bags from your shopping, those shopping bags or the bags that your newspaper come
in.
Because
it's not that they don't like it. It just really, really messes up the system and the lines.
They prefer not to have them in there.
They're on rollers, on wheels, and everything gets gummed
Meanwhile, out at the Summit County landfill, they're flying all over the place, so it's a litter issue.
That's
with
the
them.
Nuisance
here
factor.
Too.
Right.
Okay, the nuisance. Okay.
So the nuisance factor is at the landfill, where actually our landfill manager, Jaron Scott, has to take his people off the face of the landfill to go around and plug out plastic bags from the bushes and the fences.
The fence line,
very unsightly.
Really?
That is, you know, it costs us. So
yeah.
why not just avoid it? But there is a bigger problem. And the bigger problem is that while we're using all of these lovely things, we need to take the responsibility to get rid of them properly. And that would be possibly to take them back to the store where you got them.
Yeah.
So the big box stores that we have in Summit County do accept them. Most of them get their produce, their products from California. They ship it back in the empty trucks to California. Once it hits California soil, California has ordinances and laws in place to deal with them properly. I would recommend that you not put them in your curbside bin if you have them. Now, we all know that.
Okay.
Choices. But we do accept them at Recycle Utah. We handle them separately.
Right.
It is a labor of love, let me tell you.
All right.
They're ugly.
Okay. And so what is it that you do with them once you collect
them? We do bale them. There is something called a sandwich bale, which means you have cardboard on the outside, the bags inside. But you need to have enough bags. So you need to store these large bags. So 26 of them are pressed together in one bale. And it is, we don't have enough space for it. It is truly a labor of love, but it is doable. We can handle it. So if you have plastic bags, just bring them to us.
All right. If you just join us, we're speaking with Inza Reepin. She's the executive director at Recycle Utah. We're talking about some environmental issues that were discussed at last week's joint council meeting between Park City and Summit County. And let's move on to another. Which one? The solid waste management plan you want to talk about?
Well, let's finish up the bags real quick by saying this.
Okay.
They do end up in our oceans. Just like the little rings from our plastic water bottles. I just came back from the North 40 and picked up, I think, 7 of them. I should count them every day.
Yeah.
So we have these awesome soccer tournaments, and everybody is hydrated. We are the best hydrated society in the world. The energy drinks, and I can even tell you which color does what. So folks, please ask your children after the game, no matter how good or bad it was, to clean up after themselves. And those little rings, those tops, that's the stuff that adds up in the ocean right next to the plastic bag.
Right.
So here's the deal. We've all seen the photo of the big sea turtle with the plastic ring or the plastic bag around its belly, right?
Right.
And we say, oh, that poor turtle.
Right.
Oh. Well, guess who put it there? Not the turtle, but the ring. We did. Yeah, Nell.
Chris is pointing.
Somebody, or EJ, our
Nell wouldn't do that.
Right.
Never, ever.
But
so
we do that.
The point is, it's us, and the plastic bags don't just fly around. They end up in our water sources. They end up in the Pacific Ocean. They end up in all 5 oceans. Everybody,
and in our water sources locally. I have to add in here that this is something that we see on the Swanner Preserve, in
thank
the
you for
streams,
saying that.
And in
you
the wetlands,
plastics.
And in the fences along our boundaries. And that's the most common thing that we probably pick up.
Hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And if you go, you just drive any road that has a curb, look at the curb. There they are.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have rain. Hopefully we will have rain.
Right.
And then it washes into the storm sewer. That is not being treated. Nobody sits there with a big net and takes out all the plastic bags. And that's really the problem that we need to worry about.
Okay.
The landfill, we can manage.
Yeah.
However, the water, that's our responsibility.
Yeah, it gets into the water cycle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we can talk garbage.
All right. So let's move on.
Yay.
We got a couple more issues to talk. What's going on with the landfill or solid waste master plan? We talked about that.
Yes.
Some of the challenges
exciting
there.
Exciting stuff.
Okay.
Really exciting
Good.
Stuff. The best thing Bob Jasper ever did is hire Jaron Scott.
All right.
Yay, Bob.
Sure, Bob. Good
yeah.
job, Bob.
We
congrats, Jaron. You've received INSA's seal of approval.
You
oh,
can
yeah.
retire
I,
now, Bob.
I tell Bob that every time. Best thing you ever did. We now have a professional who actually manages our landfill. Yay. That's
and,
what we have needed for years.
And what changes have occurred as a result? What's going on there?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we have a scale. Everybody gets a weight ticket, which is very important. You need to know how much stuff you bring.
Yeah.
Things are being sorted and handled. There are rules and regulations in place. I am thrilled.
Good.
Now, the current landfill has 2 years left. Let me spell that out. T-W-O?
24 months
right?
of room.
Oh, that's even better.
Okay.
I'm going to say 24 months from now on. Because the problem with that is, what are we going to do then? And of course, Jaron has a plan.
Yeah.
So the county has hired an engineering firm. wonderful, local, nice. And there are new cells being planned. That is what we saw on the PowerPoint. Those people that don't know how to read those maps had a little bit of a problem.
Right. But the idea is there's room on the existing
footprint. There's plenty
of
room, which is really nice, and the new cells will be managed properly. The little thing that nobody really wanted to talk about was even the liner for the first cell costs millions of dollars.
Yes.
Where is that money?
Right.
We don't have it.
We don't have it.
Trash is expensive.
Yes.
Well, it actually, the proper management of garbage in our properly managed landfills is very expensive. The problem that I believe, and this is my private opinion, we need to charge for garbage. So when I mentioned to Leslie $100 a month, she said, what? So that might be a bit much. We like to do things in baby steps, baby steps.
But,
so on our tax bill, there is not a line item that says, Enza, you have to pay $12 a month or, you know, $500 a month per year for the garbage service. I think it needs to be there.
Well,
I really, really think it needs to be there for the same reason that we need to have a fee, a fine, a tax, or something for plastic bags.
Well, I get a bill for water. I get
yes.
a bill for wastewater. I get a bill for electricity. I get a bill for natural gas. All of those are natural resources, part of the infrastructure.
They better be small.
Why shouldn't I get a bill for generating solid waste and the management of that solid waste?
I think if we were to actually see that it costs money, we would change our habits.
Yeah.
I know that, for example, Nell and I probably don't need to put our garbage can out every week. We just don't need to. Do you?
No.
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 No. No. Of course not. And then those of us who really recycle everything, and especially compost at home, we don't have any garbage to speak of, really. Do we want that garbage can every now and then? Yep, we do. And that is a wonderful service. Now, the discussion also came up. We want a garbage can emptied every week. We want a really big recycling bin emptied every week. We also want a green waste bin that needs to be emptied
right,
every week. And then
much.
We want a separate glass bin, right? Well, folks, where are we going to put all those bins?
Right.
I wouldn't be able to handle it. And I'm fortunate enough to have a garage.
Hope you have a garage.
So let's think on a practical matter. How can we achieve this? So charging for garbage has got to be number one. And nobody wants to call it a fee or a tax and da-da-da, but we need to figure that out.
Okay.
Soon.
Yeah, the challenge is how do you meter that, right? You can meter my electricity, my natural gas use, my water use, my wastewater generation. That can all be metered in some way. How do you charge for the amount of waste that I generate?
Right, so that Chris is paying more for his massive garbage can.
Right.
All the, than INSA is for...
All the newspapers that I
and
throw
that's
away.
Half a pound.
Right.
That's easily done by the size of the bin.
Yeah, okay.
So there are smaller bins that we currently
so
have.
So give us some comparisons. You know, the United States is kind of far behind on this, but in Europe, there are some different systems for garbage and recycling. How does that work?
Indeed. They do it by color, really. So there is a very sturdy black bag that you can buy. And depending on the country, I can only vouch for Holland and Germany and a little bit of Denmark to say, what does it cost to get rid of a garbage bag? First of all, you have to buy it at the municipality. So I would probably have to go to city or county seat to say, I would like to buy a garbage bag. The garbage bag would be the size of maybe a 33-gallon bag, which is very small. It's what we put in our kitchens, probably.
Okay.
And it would probably cost you the equivalent of $75 to $100.
Okay.
If you have to
There's
pay that
incentive.
Much,
okay.
there is your incentive.
That's pricey.
That's
right.
why, it,
okay.
you know, that's... So now you get free bags for yellow ones for paper. You are expected to only put paper in there, any kind. If you happen to put two glass bottles in there, most likely beer bottles, if you put those in there, well, your bag A will not be picked up. B, it will have a very large red sticker on it. So there is a whole lot of, oh, I messed up. Look at that red
right.
sticker. How awful
right.
my neighbors are going
Public
to see it.
Shame.
Shame,
right.
yes.
Okay.
Then there are separate, you know, 1 week you pick up plastic and paper. The next week you pick up... the metals, And the glass is handled totally, totally separately. It is your responsibility to bring it to color-coded boxes that are usually in the vicinity of grocery stores. And we have such proposal. We proposed that years ago to the county. And that's still on the table.
Okay.
But for now, bring your glass to Recycle Utah.
Because, and that's another thing, bring your glass because I can't put my glass in my recycle
bin. You must not. The only thing that you can put,
that was another big issue. That lack of education there, particularly with visitors who are accustomed, come from other parts of the country where they can put glass.
So let's make very sure that everybody knows Rocky Mountain Recycling, which is the recipient of all of our commingled curbside recyclables, is not capable of sorting out glass. So if you choose to put your glass or you let your visitors or guests put glass into the recycling bin, that's called contamination, and your recyclables are not going to be recycled, period.
Okay. So
don't do it.
Glass.
Don't do it.
No glass in your recycling bin.
Thank you.
You either take it to
Recycle Utah,
or you can put it in the trash.
Glass is not bad
for the landfill.
Not at all.
It's not a contaminant within the landfill's in setting.
It weighs things down. It's not bad at all. Okay. It doesn't do any harm. It doesn't leach any.
It's sand.
It's sand.
So, okay.
It's a shame because we have a terrific company in Utah that recycles glass 100% any color. It's easy peasy.
But it's got to come to you.
Yes,
Utah.
Please.
Okay. We got time for one more topic.
Idling.
Let's talk about that because I want to know what your thoughts are on that. Because you come, you know, in Germany or in Europe, they have a much more structured or regimented or effective some no idling programs there.
Well, the difference is one that permeates everything in society, and that is you're being taught to do good for the majority of people. And here, as I was driving up, I was thinking, you know, if somebody were to say you need to pay more taxes, I would probably say, wait, what for?
Right.
Right? So we don't give our money to the government to do a great job for the greater good. No. We are going to say, you are not going to get any more money.
Right.
So if the government could say, or the entities that are in charge, whichever they may be, yes, we need a little bit more money so that we can handle your garbage properly, let's do that.
Right.
I think idling is simply, we all need to breathe. That's the number one thing we need. If I cut off your air, you last...
Seconds.
Let's say 20 seconds.
Well, yeah.
Maybe 60. I do that test with the kids at school all the time. Nobody makes it to 60 seconds.
Right.
So air is important. I think we can do this. We can turn off our cars. We have placed signs. Recycle Utah has placed signs at all the banks. I would like for everyone to take responsibility and pass it on. This is something you have to tell the people who work for you. People who you work with, to say, your truck, diesel or not, turn it off at the post office. So when little old me approaches this huge, big diesel truck guy to say, excuse me, sir, would you please turn off your engine because we live in an anti-idling environment. We all breathe. We want to breathe nice air. And this big guy looks at me and says, lady.
Right.
I don't care. Well, we need to go past that. We need to start caring.
Right.
Not necessarily for your lungs and mine, but at least for our kids. And they know it. They know.
I thought, I don't know if it was you or someone else that told me that in some cities in Europe or so, that if you're in a traffic at a stoplight and you're third or fourth in line,
you turn your car off.
You have to turn your car off.
Well, the new fancy cars, you know, those are
automatically.
The cars that have three letters, sort of.
Yeah.
Those we can't advertise, but they turn themselves off after 3 seconds.
It's a no idling technology.
But again,
which is
it's doing well for the greater good, you know. But we here, I think we can do this, especially in Summit County. We're at the top. We need to be more responsible environmentally in every facet whatsoever, because whatever it is that we do or don't do, the people below us, they're going to have to suffer. because of our failure to do it right.
Right. Well, again, like you say, collectively we got ourselves into issues of bad air and fouled rivers and streams and Superfund sites, and we did that as a collective.
Yeah.
Collectively, we can get ourselves
we
out of
We have to
that
do it
issue.
Collectively because the water doesn't stop flowing at the corner of, you know, between right. Summit and Salt Lake counties, and the same with the air. So the bad air from the county comes up, and it's collectively our responsibility to do better and teach others to do it as well.
All right, we gotta wrap up, but we do want to showcase your website.
Good. Please, it's an awesome
love
website.
Your new website.
It's a great
yes.
website.
Thank you to Tori Sol and her sister for putting it together. It's recycleutah.org. It's awesome. It's
yes.
fancy. It does all sorts of fancy things.
Social media savvy. It looks
Isn't
good.
Isn't it? Isn't it's it great. Awesome? Thank you, Tori. Recycleutah.org. Please check it out.
Visit and learn. Thank
Always.
You, Inza.
Thank you.
Inza Rypien, Executive Director at Recycle Utah. Go Germany. Sorry to hear about your tough loss to the U.S. last week. You only won nothing. So in effect, that's
so
kind of a
gonna,
loss.
So we're going to call it a loss.
Yes. Wait, didn't we win yesterday? Didn't we?
I got you won yesterday,
I'm
too.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly. As long as you feel bad.
Yeah, right.
That's all that matters. All right. Thanks, Inza.
We'll, thanks, Inza.
We'll be in touch. Let's take a break for a couple underwriters. When we come back, Park City Market joins us.
First, Wild Aware Utah.
Oh, Wild About Utah.
Wild About Utah.
That's first coming up. Thanks now. Right after these words from our underwriters. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is John with Park City Nursery.
And this is Kay with the Park City Tree Ranch.
Supporting KPCW since 1983.
Between the two locations, we carry a variety of products to help your yard and garden flourish, including living plants, yard art, seeds, bark, compost, and organic products.
Park City Nursery.
We know what grows.
ParkCityNursery.com.
Rocky Mountain Power is proud to support KPCW and this green earth. Rocky Mountain Power WattSmart New Homes Program offers incentives for building a new energy-efficient home that can help you enjoy year-round comfort, higher resale value, and lower energy bills. To learn more or find a builder in your area, WattSmart.com.
I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
I'm Tim Henney. Join us Wednesday at 9 a.m. for The Mountain Life.
As we head into summer, we'll talk with the experts on health, nutrition, and fitness.
From celebrating the solstice to finding balance in your work, play, and relationships.
From detoxing your diet to intensifying your immunity.
From cartilage restoration to joint resurfacing.
That's Wednesday at 9 a.m. on The Mountain Life. Brought to you by
Park City Clinic,
Stein Erickson Lodge and Spa,
Grand Valley Bank and Heber Valley Bank,
Park Meadows Country Club,
and Vento Pizzeria.
Welcome to Wild About Utah, a partnership of the Bridgerland Audubon Society, USU Extension, and the Quinney College of Natural Resources at Utah State University.
This past winter, we took on a new staff member at the Stokes Nature Center. In exchange for room and board, he lives in our building and is on call 24 hours a day. He's arguably our most popular employee, but I'm not jealous. Rooster is, after all, cuter than me. He's also a cat. As one of the only buildings for miles around, we attract a lot of mice. Taking on a cat seemed like a fun and ecological answer to a frustrating long-term problem. Obviously, this isn't a new idea. Cats and humans have been coexisting for thousands of years, probably since the time our ancestors were developing agriculturally based societies in the Middle East, 12,000 years ago. With agriculture came grain storage, and with grain storage came mice. Cats quickly became an important part of our food security system. As humans spread around the globe, our newly domesticated feline friends came along too. But while most of us keep cats for reasons other than their hunting prowess these days, they have retained the skills that attracted us to them in the first place. Cats are predators. Even when they're fed at home and have no need for additional calories, their hunting instincts don't dissipate. A recent study estimated that cats in the U.S. alone kill around 2.4 billion birds and 12.3 billion small mammals every year. These statistics make cats the number one anthropogenic threat to wildlife. Utah's wildlife evolved in an environment void of small feline predators, and their behaviors reflect this. Ground nesting birds such as quail, nightjars, and killdeer are especially prone to predation. Domestic cats are a non-native species against which many of our birds and mammals have few defenses. So what can you do to help? The most straightforward answer is to keep your cat indoors. If, however, you insist he goes out, there are still a few things you can do to keep the neighborhood animals a little safer. Attaching a bell to your cat's collar can warn wildlife that she's around. If your yard is a haven for birds and mammals, provide dense vegetation for them to take refuge in. And of course, spay and neuter cats to avoid bringing any more unwanted felines into the world. There are already more stray and feral cats in the U.S. than there are loving homes for them. Controlling cat populations can save the lives of millions of birds and small mammals. If the welfare of birds and mammals isn't enough to motivate you, consider that research shows your cat is safer and will live longer if kept indoors. An innovative study by the University of Georgia, dubbed Kitty Cams, can give you a sense of what your cat might be up to during the day. Small cameras attached to the collars of house cats record not only wildlife kills, but also fights with neighborhood dogs and possums, and trips into storm sewers, across busy roads, and into the undercarriages of parked cars. So far, Rooster is earning his keep. We have noticed a wonderful decrease in nibbled-on file folders and tiny footprints in desktop dust. But we don't want our outdoor critters to decrease in numbers, and so despite his sometimes very vocal desires, he will remain an indoor feline. For the sake of all our Utah wildlife, I hope you consider doing the same. For a photo of Rooster and a link to the Kitty Cam site, and more suggestions on keeping wildlife safe from cats, visit our website at www.wildaboututah.org. For the Stokes Nature Center and Wild About Utah, this is Andrea Liberator.
Wild About Utah, a partnership of the Bridgerland Audubon Society, USU Extension, and the Quinney College of Natural Resources at Utah State University. For transcripts and archived audio of Wild About Utah, go online to upr.org and click on the Wild About Utah link. Support for Wild About Utah on UPR is made possible in part by our listeners and the Quinney College of Natural Resources, where students and faculty promote the sustainability of ecosystems and the communities that depend on them. Information at cnr.usu.edu.
This is Dana Edwards on behalf of Vail Resorts and Cannons Resort supporting KPCW. This year, we developed partnerships with 25 local nonprofits to support programs like the fourth grade program at Swanner Preserve and Eco Center. Every fourth grader in Summit County will experience Utah's ecosystem firsthand and see science come to life through in-field classes. Thanks to Swanner for making science cool. Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson, sitting here in the studio across from Chris Cherniak, as always, who's still grooving to
Bopping
the music. Our intern, EJ Elliott, and from the Park City Market, Ryan Cray and Kate Boyd. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll just get that mic turned around and tuned in. Perfect. So, how's the season going so far?
It's been great. I mean, we're coming up on our fifth one. And yeah, it's been going fabulously so far.
So how's the zero waste initiative going? And how long have you guys been doing that?
We've actually been a zero waste market since conception. So this is our eighth year going into zero waste. And we have, you know, great sponsors that help us because, as Ensa was saying earlier, sorting trash is an expensive job. And so we have five people on the street at all times helping to educate the public and basically sorting through the trash of the day of the silly market.
What form does that education take?
Basically, when you see somebody approaching, you stop them right off the bat as they just want to throw their trash into, you know, whatever the biggest can is that they can get to quickly. So the interns that we have that are standing right there will basically help them sort with, you know, food going into our compost and then the plastic, paper, and aluminum going into our commingled, and then as well anything that needs to go to the landfill, which might be, you know, a toothpick or a skewer, you know, the wood skewer.
And so how is it that you keep, you know, do you have requirements for the vendors of what kinds of materials they can give out? How do you keep that amount of garbage so small?
So vendors, whatever they pack in, they have to pack out. So it's really up to them to try to be very conscious. And we try to do a zero trash bag, plastic bag as well initiative at the market. And as well, any cardboard that they bring, they have to take out because we're not recycling their cardboard for them. And they also use reusable zip ties. So a lot of those little banners that they're hanging and their canopies, we encourage them to use reusable zip ties so we're not walking around at the end of the day with zip ties all over the place.
Yeah, so literally, I mean, it's a zero waste program, but there is a small percentage that is unavoidably has
Absolutely.
To go to a landfill. It could be, is there styrofoam? Do you ever see, do vendors have styrofoam or are they told?
Yeah, told right
no
off the
styrofoam.
Bat. No
okay.
styrofoam.
So they're given a list of materials that you do not want to see as part of their waste stream?
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
What about food, you know, serving containers and things like that?
It's all biodegradable containers or paper.
Yes.
So we did have a gal last year who brought styrofoam, didn't read the didn't read the instructions.
Right.
And right off the bat, we actually went to the store and told her no styrofoam at the market. We went to the store and got her the paper plates that she needed to be serving on.
Huh. So how much, in the end, how much garbage do you create from, you know, per event or per season?
Last year, what is it, 153?
Yeah, we had 153,000 visitors and 24 bags of trash.
Wow.
24 bags, yeah. 24 garbage bags.
Garbage bags.
Of 55 gallons.
For how many weeks?
15 weeks last
15
year.
15 weeks.
153,000.
So a bag, a little over a bag per week.
Correct.
Given all that right. event, all those people, all that waste you're in. That's fantastic.
Now, with the food leftovers, do those go to composting? At one point, we talked with Park Silly about some local farm animals getting to eat this.
Yes.
We still, definitely. Yeah, we still feed the pigs and Camas. So the gateway pigs. So every you know, Sunday, as soon as we're done, we go in. You know, now we're with the commingled initiative. We used to actually have canisters for paper, plastic, aluminum. Now we went with the Summit County Commingled Initiative, which helps. And all of our compost, at the end of the day, the girls are interns from Salt Lake, Utah University of Utah. They actually run out to the pigs out in Camas. And it's fun. I mean, we've got video of these girls feeding the pigs. And they're big. They're big, big, mm-hmm. big pigs. Very large pigs. Because our compost isn't true compost. Because we do have meat, we do have dairy that's getting dumped.
Sure.
So that's why we chose to go the pig route as opposed to the true compost.
Right.
Because it's tough. It's tough to...
Right, you can't come
At that
compost
point, when we're
that.
Just trying to have them scrape their plate, then all of a sudden we'd start really getting nitpicky. So not that we wouldn't love to do that, but it's
Lettuce
difficult.
In here, meat in there, dairy yeah, in this exactly, container.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you seeing over the years that... you know, you have these interns there, these waste stream interns. Are you seeing visitors' attitudes, not attitudes, but are they slowly starting to get it? And that you know, maybe in the beginning you needed 7 or 8 interns and a lot of education, but the levels of education are going down, that visitors and such understand what goes where, and they're not just going to just chuck it.
I'd
or is
love
that an ongoing...
to say
yeah,
yes,
I would
okay.
but
to
we it. Absolutely have to man every single station.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, because we do around 45% of our visitors mm-hmm. are from out of state. So in that, you know, their initiatives are totally different. You know, we can't recycle glass within right. our commingled where everybody else, you know, does have that opportunity.
Right. We talked
so now
about.
All of a sudden we're... you know, still trying to educate our system versus their system.
Right. The local sort
right.
of
Park City
practices.
People, they get it.
Oh, definitely.
You know, a lot of Summit County gets it. It's just, you know, we have different countries, you know, different people visiting from all over the country.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's still an education.
Still a little confused, but it is easier now with the commingled. So they don't have, you know, 4 different options. Now it's just
right.
like 1. So that helps out a little bit. But
so what would be your biggest words of advice for somebody wanting to plan a zero waste event?
Yeah.
You know, having a big, just even a 1-day festival or an
You have to
event.
Have someone man the booth. We also help out with the Summit County Fair. Last year, we just didn't have people educating right at the zero waste station, and at the end of the day, every single bin was trash, absolute landfill. So my one biggest recommendation would be to pay someone, because I haven't found anybody who wants to freely sort our trash.
Find a volunteer for that.
Right. Right.
So my recommendation would be to signage, yes, and definitely have somebody there.
Guides. Great.
Guides, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. A nice word, a nicer yeah. word than like enforcement.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Security. Trash security.
Right.
Okay. Trash security. It's any got a other, nice ring to it.
We got a couple minutes. Any other programs you've implemented or, you know, in the sustainable area?
We always encourage people to walk, bike, or bus to the market too, because the parking is obviously pretty limited.
Yes.
And that's a way to kind of, you know, watch your footprint there. And we offer free bike valet through Cole Sport. So definitely don't drive if you don't have to. Take the bus, carpool, if you're coming from Salt Lake, or use our bike valet.
Bike valet meaning?
You come up, so it's at the bottom of Main Street, right by the main stage, the garage.
Okay.
So they will take your bike for you, give you a little tag, okay, and then at the end of the day, you can come pick
and
it up.
They'll park
it. Have to, like, you know, push it around the market.
Park it for it, push it around the market, find a place to lock it up. Or
right,
park it,
right.
That
it's
could
secure.
Be in the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's they'll also valet your stroller if you need them to.
So. Oh, stroller.
Yeah.
Strollers. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have like a dog valet too? So
that's a good idea.
There's a lot of dogs on Main Street.
Yes. Yes. And we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
We have to. Okay. So yeah. We have to. We get going. But Ryan Cray and Kate Boy with Park Silly Sunday.
Thank you so much
for joining us. It's always interesting to learn about the evolution of that zero waste program. You guys are, you know, kind of setting the bar.
They are.
Stuff.
And
it's
we're trying.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job. Keep it up.
Thank you.
All
so
right.
Much.
Let's take a break for a couple underwriters. We come back. We got a few minutes left for some news items. It's This Green Earth. Stay tuned.
Hi. This is Reese DeMille with Republic Services, your local source for recycling and garbage service, and a proud sponsor of KPCW's This Green Earth. As you recycle, please remember, glass cannot go in your residential curbside recycling bin. Help keep Summit County Recycling clean. SummitCountyRecycles.org.
Rocky Mountain Power is proud to support KPCW and This Green Earth. Rocky Mountain Power offers watt-smart advice such as avoiding the use of large appliances like a washer or dryer between 2 and 8 p.m. because it helps reduce energy demand and keeps costs down for all of us. More ways to save energy at wattsmart.com.
Welcome back to This Green Earth, weekly talk show on environmental issues, concept sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak. She's Nell Larson. Joining us also for our news segment is EJ Elliott, our summer intern here at This Green Earth. We got about 5 minutes to get some of these news items in.
Yeah.
First, although I got to say, that segment, Wild About Utah segment about cats, fascinating.
Yeah.
How many birds killed every year?
Billions and billions.
37 billion?
They are a serious impact on like songbirds and migratory, the whole gamut.
I'll say it.
Especially those ground nesters.
We talked about an anti-idling ordinance, plastic bag. I think we may need a cat ban in this town. Unless they're going after magpies.
What about pre-existing cats?
Pre-existing cat. I don't know. I'll throw that out there for the next.
You can comment on our Facebook page with your opinion for Chris on that.
Pro cat, anti cat.
That's right.
Okay.
All right so
news items.
I wanted to just talk about microbeads really quickly. I've seen them in the news a lot recently. Illinois' Governor Pat Quinn just signed the nation's first law banning the manufacture or sale of personal care products that contain plastic microbeads. And
this microbead is
huge news. Microbeads are added to personal care products like face washes, body washes, as like an abrasive or like an exfoliant. Okay. And for the most part, they're perfectly round, tiny spheres, you know, half a millimeter smaller in size.
So I wouldn't necessarily see it inside.
Right. Or you might kind of notice it, but you'll, you know, slightly feel it, slightly see it. It's not super noticeable. They're designed, though. They're made out of plastic, and they're designed to go straight down the drain. And they're so small that they can get through wastewater treatment systems. They can get through almost all filters.
Right.
And so they go right into our waterways. And so in certain areas, like the Great Lakes, for example, this has become a huge issue. I'd be interested to see, you know, a study on this with actually the Great Salt Lake or some of our local bodies of water.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Great Lakes, some research was done and they found in some areas more than a million microbeads per square kilometer. In some cases, I think the average of all the lakes was 600,000 per square kilometer. And now they're being found in, you know, they're very commonly found in fish and other marine life,
right?
Because they look like fish eggs. So anything that would eat fish eggs will eat these, and they absorb other toxic chemicals or materials that may be in the water. So then those get into the fish, and then those fish, in some cases, we're eating, or like mussels, or you know, any seafood that we eat. So it's become a big deal. In 2012, I think, was when this really catalyzed, although the information was out there and there was some talk about it previously. I know Katie Noble and I did a piece on this years ago. But that's when things started to move pretty quickly when they did this research. And the industry worked together. A lot of the companies that create these have agreed to ban these. And then this process will take place over the next few years.
And I'm sorry, the ban then is that products in Illinois, you can't sell products that contain microbeads.
Right, or manufacture. That'll start like in 2015 and phase out through the next few years. And New York is also looking at legislation, California, Ohio, a few others. And once several states are on board, the industry seems to expect that it'll become a national standard.
And I'm sure in this state, they'll probably promote plastic
beads.
Yes. It'll be
we stand by our plastic beads.
The industry.
That's right. You know, that's right.
Okay. All right. We got one more minute or so for one more story. EJ, what's yours?
So researchers at UC Riverside, in a laboratory experiment, the engineering students found that ordinary clay roof tiles sprayed with titanium dioxide removed 88% to 97% of nitrogen oxide pollution from air. And nitrogen oxide is a pollutant that's usually found in smog. So you're going to see that in the LA basin. So, of course, places like UC Riverside, they're pretty big on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you take a roof, spray it with titanium dioxide, which is actually an ingredient otherwise in paint, white paint.
Mm-hmm.
So
the spray it's a coating. Looks white when you put it on any roof.
Okay. And so it actually absorbs NOx, nitrogen oxide.
It doesn't necessarily absorb it, but it breaks it down so that it's not a pollutant anymore.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting. Yeah. There are also materials coming out that can go in like sidewalk pavement that have similar effects to pollutants. So it'll be interesting to see.
And they're trying
to
see in California if they can put it on the side of roads.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about more of that. Maybe finish that conversation next week, plus several other news stories. Mm-hmm. We got to go. Time to go. It's last word from our underwriters, and we'll be back to wrap up. It's This Green Earth.
Additional funding for programming on KPCW has been provided by Long Reimer Weiniger Bepler, Estate Planning Family Law, LRW-LAW.com. Park City Nursery, we know what grows, ParkCityNursery.com. Brett Stimson, Mortgage Assistant for Home Purchases, 801-201-3484. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.
That's another great show, right?
Yeah.
From This Green Earth. We would like to thank our underwriters, Republic Services,
Habitat for Humanity's Restore,
Vail Resorts,
Rocky Mountain Power,
San Francisco Design,
and Berkshire Hathaway Real Estate.
You can also join us on Facebook at KPCW This Green Earth or email us at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Remember, this is KPCW 91.9 FM Park City.
Only in Park City, only on KPCW.
NPR News is next.